And Keith Jones is the man who is responsible for that call later today, and looking forward to hearing it and looking forward to the visit here this morning on the show. Keith, welcome, my friend.
Welcome. I appreciate you guys having me. It's the Jimmy John studio. Can they get me a sandwich up here real quick?
So fast you'll freak.
What's your favorite Jimmy John's number, a 14?
I'm not sure. I just appreciate you guys having me on. Having some fun.
Yeah, looking forward to this. And you know, looking forward to the afternoon. You talk about those two grade ones. What an unbelievable day it has to be for you as the track caller.
I don't get a whole lot of days like that up here, so I look forward to it a great deal. I take advantage of the opportunity to go back to the barns and, you know, see them up close and personal and, you know, pet them if I can and watch them school in the paddock. And, they're just, when you talk about the thoroughbreds at this level, the grade one horses, they're just so beautiful to look at. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it.
And Keith, you've had the privilege to call some really good ones in that Pennsylvania Derby over the years. Thinking back to last year with West Coast, we've seen Frosted and Bayern and We'll Take Charge. It's the names that have come through parks in recent years, it's been a who's who.
We struggled for a long time with having our signature race on Labor Day, which was just too close to the Travers. There's just no way anybody was going to run their quality three-year-old in both races. And if you're going to choose between the Travers and the Pennsylvania Derby, you know, the great percentage obviously they're going to run in the Travers. So when management moved the race away from the Travers and put it in a position to be a prep for the three-year-olds to move forward to Breeders' Cup Day, it just found a whole new level. And just as some of the names that you threw out there, I know he got beat because it was kind of a prep race for him. They didn't make any bones about the fact that he wasn't 100%, but California Chrome came.
Yep.
And, he was just the attention he attracted here. But since moving the race and putting it where they have it, the race has just become a tremendous three-year-old race of the fall.
Yeah, well, you've got two just sensational races today. You got arguably, you know, the best fillies in the country in the Cotillion, and then the Derby's just outstanding as well. You mentioned that you go to the barn and look at the horses. Does that help you when you call the races?
I can't say it gives me any particular edge in calling the race. No. I'll do my prep work and, you know, I'll watch the videos during the week of what they've done in the past. It's amazing because of the work that you do during the week, you're very familiar with the horses, even though you don't see them like I do when, my regular claimers out here that I'll see every 3 weeks or every month, you get so familiar with those, but you feel like you're really familiar with the field and with the horses, even before they set foot on the racetrack.
Yeah, Keith Jones with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He'll have the call, the Pennsylvania Derby and the Grade 1 Cotillion later this afternoon from Parks. Keith, is there a particular race or maybe a couple of moments that stand out to you when you think back on the Pennsylvania Derbies and the Cotillions that you've been part of over the years?
My very first... I remember one of my favorites from well back was Summer Squall. Which was the first time I had the opportunity to call a Preakness winner in the Pennsylvania Derby, and that was really a dynamic race. He got off to a tangled beginning. It wasn't a large field, but he broke last, and then around the far turn made this sudden move to get himself up into contention and just went on to win with the kind of class that he had. California Chrome was my first opportunity to call a Kentucky Derby winner. And I can't tell you how, I was so much looking forward to him being in front in that last furlong. And that just didn't work out for me. Frosted, who put in such a terrific performance, stands out to me. You didn't mention the calls of the Cotillion, maybe my favorite moment was, having an opportunity to call Songbird in the Cotillion, because she just stands so far above with, you know, what she was able to you know, the kind of career she was able to have, and to have her win the Cotillion was a great moment for me.
Well, you've got some fantastic fillies in this year's Cotillion. I know you make the morning line. Is your choice Monomoy Girl?
I do not make the. I'm not the morning line maker. A fellow named John is our morning line guy. 3-5 is a pretty short price against, as you mentioned, some really good fillies in here. I'm not sure she'll be 3-5. She might be. I don't know if she'll be a whole lot higher than even money. And I think she's going to be difficult to beat. I think the scenario and where she draws in the race play to her favor. There's not a whole lot of early speed in the race. I think she should be well positioned early in front of her main contenders in what shouldn't be a terribly taxing pace. I think they're going to have a hard time running her down today. I did have a chance to talk to Brad Cox when I was back in the barns this week, and with the Breeders' Cup looming, you wonder whether, you know, I don't think they'd be using this as a prep. Because it is a $1 million race, and he said, again, this could be just trainer speak, but he said she's absolutely as good as he can get her. She's 100%, and if she's 100%, I mean, they haven't been able to beat her. So in a wagering sense, I'd probably be, and you can't spread out the other contenders underneath her too much, because you're just going to be, you're not going to get a whole lot of value that way. I think I would look at what the exact probables are coming back and maybe punch one or two of those that with the other contenders that offer some value and hope that you're right.
Yeah, she's a filly that's has a forwardly placed running style. Last time out, she goes wire to wire to win the Coaching Club American Oaks. She sat third to win the Acorn the race before that. We've seen her come from further back to win some of her races. So she can be placed pretty much anywhere. How would you describe that racetrack, Keith? Is it more of a typically a speed-favoring racetrack, or does it favor horses that come from a little bit off the pace?
It is more usually a speed-favoring track, and on the big days, it seems to be even more so. And I think you raise a terrific point. I think that's absolutely something that you want to. The races don't fall until later in the afternoon. You should be able to get a good handle on how the track plays during the afternoon and what's going on in the earlier races, but for the most part, I would say that in our big days, that the speed has been a significant factor. Horses that are having to make up a lot of ground to go on and win the races, it just doesn't seem to work out.
Put us in the announcer's booth with you for a moment. When you're calling a race with a horse of this stature that's going to be such a heavy favorite in a Grade One race, when they're in the gate, are you singularly focused on Monomoy Girl, or will you be trying to watch the rest of the field a little bit too? How do you do it?
You really do. You watch all of them. You have maybe a little bit more of an eye on Monomoy Girl. But in a race of this caliber, that the gate break in those first couple of moments can be extremely significant. If for any reason you're a half a step slow, you get bumped just a little bit, and you compromise any kind of position in the very early part of the race, you're going to compromise your chances of success during the rest of the day or during the rest of the running of the race. So I absolutely will keep my eye on all of them, again, with maybe a little bit more of an edge toward Monomoy Girl. But no, you want to be able to, as an announcer, you hope to be able to see as much as you possibly can.
What have you decided to go with for the pronunciation of Mark Cassie's filly?
From what I understand, it's Gadot, Wonder Gadot. It's the Israeli actress, Gary Barber, obviously the movie producer. But I've been in touch with Larry Colmus this week. And there was no question that when he called the Travers, and I mean, we've been calling her Wonder Gadot all year. And when he said, Gadot, that definitely my ear perked up. But we've been in touch this week, and he assures me that he had been in touch with Mr. Barber. It's Gadot, Wonder Gadot. How she says her name.
That's what we went with for the Travers as well, because Larry had informed us that's what he was going to go with there. It's funny because her name, we've been covering her now since her two-year-old season here on the network. And Jude, I think we've gone with probably four different pronunciations. It started with Gadot, then it was Gadot, then Gadot, and now Gadot. Those are the four I can come up with.
Yeah.
Well, you just, as an announcer, you do want to get it right. So Larry did my legwork for me, and I appreciate that.
Well, the myth continues.
Hey, what Larry says goes.
I can't say I've seen any of her movies, so I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if she can pull off a victory. She'll have to be Wonder Woman to knock off Monomoy Girl and the rest of those fillies, because they are very, very good in today's Grade 1 cotillion.
It was interesting. If you go back and look at the stretch run of the Kentucky Oaks, when the two of them were head-to-head, when Monomoy and Wonder Godot were head-to-head, through that last furlong, late in the race, they bump. They come together, and at that point, Wonder Godot changes to the wrong lead. She's on the proper outside lead, you know, through the whole fight. And when they bump, she changes to the inside lead. And that's the moment when Monomoy Girl gets the advantage and puts ahead maybe a neck in front. And, you know, that was, if you look at it, you could make a case for that was the deciding moment in the race.
All right, Keith Jones, he's the man who will have the call of that Grade 1 Cotillion and Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby later this afternoon. Keith, have to get to our next segment. Really appreciate the visit. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. So we'll get that to you. And enjoy the afternoon and look forward to hearing the calls.
Well, I appreciate you guys spotlighting our race and our race car today. And thank you very much for having me on. It has been my pleasure.